Good evening and welcome.
Good evening.
Glad we can be together here tonight after a beautiful day, now a wonderful evening. Get our week started off right. Rare to go anymore. So the world wonders, how can you be happy on a Monday? Don't you know it's Monday? Yeah, I know it's Monday. Got fired up and excited about Jesus last night. And I'm ready for my week. So, anyway, let's begin with prayer and let's celebrate Jesus. Father, we thank you that we can be together tonight and worship you in a warm place, in a welcoming place. And the welcome comes because you are present with us. And we're just so ecstatically happy that you're here. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for all that you've accomplished on our behalf, through your life, your suffering, your death, your resurrection, your teaching, for showing us the Father, showing us the way to have a relationship with him one-on-one. Wow, you're incredible. And Holy Spirit, we're so grateful that you're among us, that you move among us, that you live in our hearts, that you are our helper, our advocate. You're the one who empowers us and encourages us, and we are so grateful. I pray that tonight, as we're together, that you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, will be honored and worshiped and pleased, and that we'll see you with fresh eyes, hear you with fresh ears, and be changed evermore into your likeness. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's sing. Amen. All to Jesus I surrender. My life in your hands. Take it all, Lord. Take it all. Who has a testimony you'd like to share with us tonight? Jeff?
We're finally on the routine.
All right.
Yes, and no one else in the family got sick.
Praise the Lord.
Yes.
Yeah, there's an answer. It amazes me how that can happen. This is supposed to be such a contagious disease. You got to stay 6 feet from people in case it jumps on you from 5 feet. And yeah, you can live together in the same household with somebody that's got it and not get it. Okay. Thank you, Lord. I'm not saying we shouldn't keep distance and wear masks. I just
unless amazed. They were all asymptomatic.
Yeah.
Never knew.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
Asymptomatic what?
Asthmatic.
Asthmatic, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Right.
Exactly. Praise the Lord with you. Praise the Lord that none of us have it. Pansy's facility has it, but Pansy doesn't have it. So that's good. So, all right. Let's pray our offertory prayer. As we receive today's offering, we believe you, Lord, for jobs and better jobs, raises and bonuses, benefits, sales and commissions, favorable settlements, estates and inheritances, interest and income, rebates and returns, checks in the mail, gifts and surprises, finding money, debts paid off, expenses decrease, blessing and increase. Thank you, Lord, for meeting all of my financial needs, that I may have more than enough to give into the kingdom of God and promote the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Anna, would you like to pass the basket for me, please? Seems it's a special day for you. Great songs, great choices. Anyone interested in the children's story tonight? Okay, we got some folks. Oh, he changed his mind. Okay.
of you like to spend a whole day doing absolutely nothing? I see a hand in the back. It was raised up quick and tall, and it was not quite doing this, but it was almost doing this. But you guys, what if you had to just do absolutely nothing? Sit on this chair, it would kind of be boring. So each of you tell me what you like to do during a day more than anything else, one at a time. What do you like to do, Anna, more than anything else in a day? Play outside.
Eat food.
Eat food.
I know. What? Really?
God, I want to do with a computer.
No, I don't want to do that.
You don't
want to do with computer? Playing with fish on DVD.
Okay.
I like playing outside and also playing on the computer.
Playing outside and on the computer.
That's why I was
His computer that. Must go outside. Oh, one at a time.
I also
have something else? What else? What? Computer? Okay, we like our computers. We like playing outside. Yeah, you can do lots of different things on the computer, can't you? Okay. Let me ask you this. How many of you like to work hard?
A little bit.
A little bit? At what?
Depends
on what it is. Okay, you like helping because it helps your parents and other people. Good. You just like helping.
I just like it.
Okay.
I like playing in the trash can at home.
Okay, pulling the trash can up from where down anyway. Okay, good. Well, I think children do like to help. I think people like to help. But I have a video of a little boy trying to help his daddy. Okay, watch this. Can you see it?
Yeah, it's
see what he's trying to do? He's trying to split wood like his daddy does with his little toy plastic hammer.
That's adorable,
yes. He's trying so hard, isn't he? Wanting to be a big daddy's helper. And you'd love to be daddy's helper, don't you? Or mommy's helper?
Yeah. Yeah.
Or baby grandma or granddad's helper? Or great granddad's helper? Digging sweet potatoes or something? That was fun, wasn't it? But it was hard work too, wasn't it? Yeah. So hard work isn't bad if I'm helping somebody or if it's accomplishing something. Well, do you know who did a lot of hard work to help his father? Jesus did. That's exactly right. Okay, God sent Jesus into the world to tell us about God and how much he loves us and to show us how to follow God, live for God, and then to pay the price for our sins so that we can experience salvation. Now, here's something else. Jesus told his disciples something. He said, "As the Father sends me, so I send you." So Jesus asked us to be his helpers in the same way God asked Jesus to be his helper. Now, we don't save the world. We don't give our life so that other people can experience salvation. Our blood doesn't pay the price of sins. But Jesus came to preach good news to the poor. He came to help the brokenhearted, to set the prisoners free. And he invites us to help him in what he was doing. And so We need to be telling people about Jesus and how much he loves them, and encouraging people that are sad, and helping people that are in need, because that's what Jesus wants us to do. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much that you put purpose and meaning in our lives, and that you don't ask us to work for no reward, but you invite us to come alongside what you're doing and participate, just like the little boy with his plastic hammer. And you're pleased as we work alongside you, being your hands, your feet, your voice of love and encouragement and help to people we see that are in need. I bless these children. I ask you to may their hearts be soft toward you and toward people that they find that need you. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you to turn with me to Isaiah chapter 61.
I didn't know Isaiah had a chapter.
Yeah, Isaiah wrote a book of the Bible. And it's pretty impressive. And he's only what? Four?
Six.
Seven.
No.
Next year. All right. It was a different Isaiah, wasn't it? Yeah. Okay. Well, so I was reading in Isaiah and I came to Isaiah 61 and I started reading there. So I invite you to follow along with me or listen closely as I read these opening verses. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning. And a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called the oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. No, I don't want that. I had a thing pop up on my page here that I didn't want. So here's great news. The Lord has come upon somebody and anointed them to minister. Good news to the poor. Bind up the brokenhearted. Freedom for the captives. Release from darkness for the prisoners. Proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God. And it goes on to comfort those who mourn, to give instead of ashes, the oil of joy, the crown of beauty, and garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. This is an awesome promise, and one that the Israelites would have held dear in their hearts, and one that as we hear it, we would hold dear in our hearts and say, let it be, Lord. Let it come. Let this be the day that we experience this anointed one in our presence. And they lived on. And they lived on. The promise continues. Says they will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. Shepherds, strangers will shepherd your flocks. Foreigners will work your fields and vineyards.
and you will be called priests of the Lord. You will be named ministers of our God. You will feed on the wealth of nations, and in their riches you will boast. These are promises that God made to his people. They were going to be wealthy because they received the wealth of the nations coming into them. This is a promise that God made to his people, to his children. Strangers will shepherd your flocks. Foreigners will work your fields and vineyards. They'll be your servants. It's not because they've overtaken your country and now they're in charge. No, they become your laborers. The immigrants will be working for you, is what I read in there. Restoration. Instead of your shame, you will receive a double portion. And instead of disgrace, you will rejoice in your inheritance. We're not ashamed of who we are as children of God. We have an inheritance that we can be exalted in, we can be pleased with. And so you will inherit a double portion in your land. And everlasting joy will be yours. Who wants everlasting joy? Yeah, me too. It's yours. God gave it to you. God says, take it. Here it is. All you want. Joy unspeakable and full of glory, we sing about. It goes on. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. In my faithfulness, I will reward my people and make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants will be known among the nations and their offspring among the peoples. All who see them will acknowledge that they are a people the Lord has blessed. You can't deny Israel's blessings over the generations. God has kept that word. And I believe God keeps that word to us. We're still his people. We're still his children as we accept Jesus and follow him. And these promises that God is making to the Israelites, he makes to us as we get adopted in to the Jewish family, the chosen ones of God, the redeemed. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of his righteousness. As a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. You see how you're clothed? When we look at each other, what do we see? We see our faces, we see our hair, our hands, we see the overall shape of our body, but we see what we're wearing. We see our clothes. When we look at somebody's clothes and we kind of make some judgments about them. We see a person on the street, we don't know them, but they're clean, they're well kept, their hair is combed nicely, and their clothes are sharp. Okay? They're good fashion, they fit nicely, they're attractive, color coordinated, modern styles. We kind of think, that is somebody. But then we see someone that's disheveled, their hair is all unkept and unruly, they look dirty, clothes are tattered and worn, no matches, plaid, stripes, polka dots all together, shoes untied, mostly worn out, holes in them, shuffling along the street. We make another judgment. A homeless person, a vagrant. I can't trust that person. They'll probably steal from me. We look at how somebody's dressed and we make a judgment of their character. Well, think about it too. When you're dressed nicely and you're clean and your hair is well kept and your shoes are polished, kind of hold your head a little higher, and you walk with confidence and you feel good about yourself. But if you're on an off day and your hair is kind of a mess, it's windy, it's rainy, and you're wearing your old work clothes and they're kind of tattered and battered, and then you run into somebody that you'd like to impress, oh, I don't feel so good. Well, I want you to know that regardless of what you're wearing on the outside, you are clothed in God's righteousness. And being clothed in God's righteousness, it's like a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. You're in a wedding gown. You're dressed to the nines. I mean, you're just as sharp can be when you're clothed in God's righteousness. And you can feel good about yourself, regardless of what is on your body, what you're physically wearing. Because when God looks at you, he sees his righteousness, and it's dazzling, and it's beauty. And he finds it extremely attractive. What did he just say? I delight, he loves justice, clothed in his righteousness. I think we're clothed in justice. Loves it. For as the soil makes the sprout come up and a garden causes seeds to grow, so the sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all nations. So just as certainly as seeds sprout up in a well-tended, well-watered, fertilized garden, just as certain as that, the Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up among the nations. That's a pretty sure deal. And that's the word of the Lord. He has spoken. And when God speaks, it happens. And so Israel had this chapter for generations, for decades, for centuries. They were looking forward to the promise. The one who would come and be able to say that the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, and so on. And they waited, and they waited, until finally one day, in Luke chapter 4, verse 14, we read these verses, these words. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. Now, Jesus returned to Galilee from the wilderness where he had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and where during that 40 days he was tempted by the devil. And coming out of that time, the angels of the Lord ministered to Jesus at the end of that time, and he returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. I remember when I did my 40-day fast, and it was an awesome time with the Lord. And I remember in the middle of that saying, Lord, if this is what it takes to be this close to you, I wish I never had to eat again. I said that. Somebody here said, what's your favorite thing to do? Boy, they were speaking my heart. They said, eat. I can identify with that. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. And I was looking forward after that fast to experiencing the power of the Spirit that Jesus did. But instead, I experienced the power of temptation. I found myself struggling. I'm not disappointed that I went through that experience. It was an awesome experience. And as I think about it this evening, I think maybe the difference was the angels ministered to Jesus before he came back. And it was powerful. So here's Jesus coming back in the power of the Spirit. News about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. So he went to church every Friday night, every Saturday, whenever synagogue was held. And there he worshiped. That was his custom. That's just what he did on the Sabbath. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written. Now, the scroll was handed to him, but as I read this, the scroll was all rolled up, and what was on the outside that he could read was Isaiah. This was the scroll of Isaiah. And then it was up to him to open the scroll and find some place to begin reading. And he did that. And here's what he read. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. The very passage that I read first from Isaiah 61. The same passage that the Jewish people had been waiting for and yearning to be fulfilled in their lifetime, from the time the book of Isaiah was written until this moment when Jesus is standing in the synagogue and reading it. And I can just envision that as he read it, there was a hush that came on the room. Now, I'm reading into this. This is my idea of what happened. And there's a sense of holiness in the room that hadn't been there before he started reading. And that all eyes and ears were in rapt attention to the words and the person standing before them. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me." Some of them may have been by the Jordan when he was baptized. And seen and heard the Spirit descend like a dove. Although I doubt it, because this is Nazareth, his hometown. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me. I am the anointed one. I am the sent one. I am the Messiah, is what Jesus was saying. Doesn't use those words, but Messiah means the anointed one, the sent one. He sent me to proclaim good news to the poor, to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Wow. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. I don't know where he sat. Might have been in the front row, but it could have been in the middle or in the back. If it was in the middle and everybody's eyes were fastened on him, some people had turned in their seats to be able to get a good look. He began by saying to them, "Today, the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Whoa. Whoa. Jesus is sitting in the synagogue, everybody looking at him, and he says, "I'm the one this was written about. I am the Messiah. I am the Christ." He didn't use those words, but the message was clear. And it was powerful. All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. "Isn't this Joseph's son?" they ask. "Isn't this the kid we saw grow up? Wait a minute. And wasn't he a carpenter's apprentice last time we saw him? Helping his dad carry stone and mortar and whatever he does." Well, if we go on, Jesus had more to say. They got upset at him, chased him out of town. How sad. The Messiah came into their very midst, identified himself, and they rejected him. Him out of town, would have stoned him had he not left. I'm glad he left, because he continued in ministry where he accomplished all the things that he read in Isaiah 61 and then said, "This was written about me." We can go through the Gospels and we can read again and again of how Jesus restored sight to blind people. About how Jesus set captives free, people oppressed by the devil. Demons were cast out. People that suffered were healed. Needs were met. Lives were changed by the ministry of Jesus, who simply did what he saw his father doing and said what he heard his father say. And then on the cross, he finished the work by paying the price for our sin. He died, he was buried, on the third day he rose again, proclaiming the year of the Lord's favor. Year with the Lord is like 1,000 days, or 1,000, a day with the Lord is like 1,000 years, 1,000 years is like a day, so imagine what a year is like. 365,000 days, a long time, think eternity, okay? That's an awesome story. And I believe it's an accurate rendition of this text and what it's saying. And as we look at and inspect Jesus' life, we see these things lived out again and again. But then, in John chapter 20, verse 21. This was on Resurrection Day. I'm going to start reading at verse 19. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Oh, yeah. I guess so. For 3 days, Jesus was dead, buried, gone. And they knew they were next. They feared the Jews. They saw what they did to Jesus. They knew what was coming for the followers of Jesus as soon as the Jews got hold of them. So they gathered together in a room and shut and locked the doors and the windows and were fearful. And on the evening of the first day of the week, this is the condition they're in. And Jesus appears among them and says, "Peace be with you." You bet they were overjoyed. They saw his hands and his side. They knew it was the Lord. It was not a vision. It was not a ghost. It was not an imposter. It was Jesus in person. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." In Matthew 28, we read, "All power is given to me. Go." Here we read, "As the Father has sent me, so I and sending you." With that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them," I still like the message, "what are you going to do with them? They're not forgiven." How did the Father send Jesus? Luke 4. "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me. He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor, freedom for the oppressed, sight for the blind, proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." If you think that's a stretch, listen to these words that Jesus said: "Greater things will you do because I go to the Father, and he'll send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit." You have the anointing of God on your life. When the Holy Spirit comes into you, you're anointed with the presence of God. You are called to be his witness. You are called to proclaim good news. You are called to set people free, to give joy for sorrow, oil of gladness
all of those things that God promised to do through his anointed one, we're now called to participate in. Because as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. I encourage you to receive the anointing the Lord is offering and run with it. See what he'd like to do with your life, with our lives corporately. How would he like to use us to change Pokemon? To change the shore? To change our nation in the world? Let's see, I count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Jesus started with 12. One of them was a dropout. He started with 11. What can he do? 14. Come, Holy Spirit. Fill us. Fill us. Fire us up. Anoint us with that power from on high. Lord Jesus, baptize us fresh in your Holy Spirit. Father, confirm your word through signs and miracles. Bring to our remembrance the many, many times that you've been faithful. You've provided for us. And then give us ears to hear and eyes to see what you're doing and what you're saying so that we can be about your business as you've called us to be. Thank you. Thank you that this is a task that's not grievous, it's not heavy, but it's joyful. It's a privilege to be your little boy or girl. We see the incredible task you're doing, splitting a huge log. And all we've got is this little toy hammer. But you're able to take that, put your hand on ours, and accomplish the task that you set out for. Jesus promised his yoke is not burdensome, it's not heavy, but it's light. So, Father, I pray that it's with joy and gladness that we bound out of this room tonight, filled with the presence of your Spirit, eager, eager to be your helpers. Come, Holy Spirit. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you with an awesome week.
You too.